Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Just got done doing a whiteboard video. Global elite, all their insanity. I can only handle that topic for so long before it just drives me crazy. So let's get back into some proper economics. The new British or the new PM in the UK, Truss, I believe her name is, has come out with a new energy plan. Okay, great, fantastic. And I don't like any politicians. But before I throw her under the bus, let's go ahead, or before I make fun of her, ridicule her, let's go ahead and see what her plan is and go from there. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt, I guess. Okay, so this is on Zero Hedge, UK Prime Minister Truss plan for consumers, quietly rescues energy traders, provides open-ended bailout for utilities. Okay, that is Zero Hedge's opinion, but I went ahead and highlighted some things that I think are the most important. So first, the plan includes, as we detail below, a lift of the UK's fracking ban. Okay. So as you guys know, one reason I've been very critical of the central planners is their solution to the problem of higher prices has been the opposite of what it should be. Meaning their solution has been reduce supply, increase demand. And we know you should increase supply and reduce demand. So hopefully I said that right. Yes, their plan has been to decrease supply and increase demand. And we need the opposite of that, just to clarify that statement. Okay, so what she's doing right off the bat is a lift of UK's fracking ban. Okay, well, I don't know how effective that will be, but at least she's headed in the right direction. We're trying to increase supply. Great. Increase North Sea drilling. I like it so far. Again, I don't know what the result will be, but at least initially the intentions are going in the right direction. I'll give her that. A renewed focus of accelerating offshore wind farms. Okay. Again, at least we're doing something to try to increase supply. A pre-announced $400 energy bill discount and green levies costing $150 would be temporarily removed. A pre-announced $400 energy bill discount and green levies costing $100. So the discount, okay, not sure where she's going with that, but okay. Capping a typical household bill will remain at approximately its current level, $1,900 or £1,900. So if they're capping this, who's taking the haircut or who is being subsidized? Because it's not like you can call up Putin and say, hey, buddy, we're going to cap these rates, these household bills at $1,900. So yeah, if you could do me a favor and just go ahead and do what you need to do on your end to make that happen, we'd greatly appreciate it. So that's not an option. So the only other alternative would be to subsidize something like that, or someone's taking a big haircut. After 6 months, Truss would focus on vulnerable industries, such as the ones that are energy intensive, are forced to shelter operations due to high, I think kind of a typo there. But regardless, let me just read this one more time so we're on the same page. Such as ones that are energy intensive, are forced to shutter operations due to high energy prices. Bailout, not too enthusiastic about that. You can argue that it was unprecedented during the Cerveza sickness. And we bailed out all of these essential businesses. And I don't think that was a good idea. I don't think you could have had the same argument for the GFC and the big banks. I don't think that was a good deal. I think here what I would do is I would try to focus on what is causing the core problem. So let's just go back before the sanctions. I don't think, if my memory serves me well, they had an energy crisis back then. So maybe instead of doing bailouts, which would create massive, malinvestment and a misallocation of resources, maybe you should just go ahead and say, okay, these sanctions are doing nothing. Well, I shouldn't say they're doing nothing. That's taking it too far. They're doing very little to disrupt, let's say, Putin's objectives. And again, I think what his objectives are debatable. I don't think anyone knows that really other than Putin. But regardless, they're hurting Russia to a certain degree, but not to the degree to which we would like. But we know one thing, that these sanctions are hurting us, the people of the UK, far more than they're hurting the people of Russia. So the cost-benefit analysis here makes no sense whatsoever. So although it would be politically probably suicide, the right thing to do would be, listen, let's go ahead and lift the sanctions. We've got to wave the white flag. Now, I'm not saying you give up in terms of fighting Putin, but you have to say, okay, this isn't working, this approach. So we need to abandon this and get back on solid footing so we can then come up with a different plan that's going to be more effective. This is what a rational person would do. So RBC Capital Markets commented, the plan to cap energy bills would offer consumers relief who are squeezed by... Okay, so basically you're giving out stimmies. So if you're saying your electric bill is over $2,000, what will make up the difference? However, now, this is where we... Let's get into some macro here. I was listening to a podcast with Grant Williams the other day, and my good buddy Doomberg, and they were interviewing Luke Croman, another good buddy of mine, and then a couple guys that I've not spoken with, a couple guys really, really smart. But one of the arguments that was made in the discussion is how the UK and Europe more broadly, to combat the energy crisis, or the meaning the crisis of energy bills going up, because I think you've got to compartmentalize between the energy crisis and the crisis of energy prices going up. I think that's different. But to combat this, what they're going to do is they're just going to bail everyone out. So really, this is a nothing burger. They're just going to, I think the number was $500 billion, which was what this hedge fund's calculations were. They're just going to print up $500 billion, and whatever the bill is, they're going to pay it. So the net result is it's not going to impact the consumer. And oddly enough, inflation or other consumer prices, as far as I know, and I've only listened to about half the podcast, so maybe they discuss it in the latter half. But it the part I listened to, the discussion of inflation was not brought up. And I think one of the reasons why is because at surface level, you would say, okay, well, George, if the governments are giving them stimmy checks just to pay the additional bills, really that's not, those additional currency units aren't really circulating with a lot of velocity throughout the economy, because although they are going to the average Joe and Jane, then they're just going directly to the energy company that's using those stimmy checks that the consumer received to pay their expenses. And there's really no more profit. There's no more excess demand that's being created. This is wrong. This is incorrect. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts, Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So why is this in my opinion, not very well thought out, because this would lead you to believe that in the absence of the stimmy checks, let's just say, that inflation would go down at the same rate or would be at the same rate. So bear with me here. Let's think this through. A little difficult to articulate. But if you give someone a $100 stimmy check and they give it directly to the energy company, it is true that those currency units aren't circulating, therefore most likely not going to increase consumer price inflation. But what you're missing is the fact that it isn't decreasing consumer price inflation by decreasing demand. That's the point I'm trying to make. So if XYZ, if the average Joe and Jane would have had to pay the additional $100, then they would have $100 less to buy goods and services. Therefore, what would happen to demand for other stuff? Go down. What would happen to prices? They'd go down. So although you might not get as much, or although you might not get significant price inflation, you won't get as much disinflation as you otherwise would have had. Or at least you would get fewer deflationary or disinflationary pressures. And remember, there's always inflationary and deflationary pressures that are pushing up against one another at all times. This was absent from the discussion, to my knowledge, and I think that that's a mistake. So let me go ahead and try to make my point here another way. And the last thing I highlighted, let's touch on that before we move to another chart. However, a consumer Armageddon next year should be avoided if energy price caps are broadly maintained. And see, this analyst from the Financial Times kind of backs up that idea. But this isn't true. This isn't true, because think about it. You've got increasing consumer prices in the UK, not just with energy. And although energy kind of trickles through, I get it. But it's not the sole reason you've got prices going up. So if you've got prices going up in other areas, then you're going to have demand in excess of what it otherwise would have been with if you give the stimmy checks to pay the higher bills. Therefore, you would expect that those prices would go up at a faster rate, because now you've got more demand than you otherwise would have had. Or at the very least, you can assume that the disinflationary pressures would be lower for everything outside of energy. Hopefully I was able to communicate that effectively. I know it gets a little confusing there, but if you're not following me completely, let's go over to this chart. I think it'll be crystal clear. So this is a chart of the CPI in the UK. And this is July 2022. So the overall CPI, 10.1%. Okay. And housing, water, electricity, gas, fuels, energy, basically 20% higher. That is staggering. Wow. Okay. Boy, I wonder if they have housing. Well, that includes housing. I wonder how they break down. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into the weeds here. It's all about the concept. So let's just say this 20%, they're able to cap that due to the fact that they're subsidizing these energy bills. Well, okay, but that means that people are going to have more money, not more money on net balance, but more money than they otherwise would have had. Because remember, if they're paying a higher energy bill, let's say by $100, that $100 would go to the electricity company or the gas company, where if that $100 is being paid for them, well, now they can take that $100 and spend it on transport, food, furniture, restaurants, etc. So I'm not saying they have an additional $100. They've got the same $100 that they would have had with their paycheck, assuming energy prices were not this high. But regardless, that gives them an extra $100 that they otherwise would not have had. An extra $100 that would have gone to pay for energy that is now going to chase other goods and services, and potentially exacerbate the consumer price inflation problem in areas other than energy. And at the very least, it will decrease the disinflationary pressures that could potentially give relief to prices in these other areas, such as transport, food, furniture, restaurants, clothing, recreation, booze, tobacco, education, miscellaneous, communication, and health. And this is what the kind of some of the experts that I hear, I think this is what they're missing. When they talk about, oh, well, there's no energy crisis here, or there's no crisis with consumers because the government can just step in and pay the additional energy bills, and it's not going to be inflationary because all those extra currency units are just going to go to the energy companies themselves. And they're missing the point that that frees up money that would, if it would have gone to the energy companies, would have created disinflationary pressures with all these other metrics. I think that's, I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse there, but I'm trying to explain it to the best of my ability. And I think that should make it clear for most everyone. So this is Truss, I think is the gal's name. This is her plan. It's hell of a lot better than Biden's plan. I'll tell you that. I don't know if that's saying much, but I think that the so-called experts that are analyzing the plan, at least in the Financial Times, are missing something that's very crucial. And the question, I guess, becomes whether the experts, the talking heads, and maybe more or most importantly, the general population is able to connect the dots when or if they see, okay, we've got the inflation being capped with energy, but whoops, now all of a sudden the inflation everywhere else is going up at an even faster rate. It'll be interesting to see if the mainstream media in the UK and maybe in the United States is able to pick that up. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.